Hello, everyone. My name is Nicole, and you're listening to All Access Pass, the summer edition on CITR 101.9 FM radio. So we're broadcasting live from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hukuminam-speaking Musqueam people. So today, we are going to be talking about the use of diet and food remedies to cure diseases. So natural does not always mean safe, but food has been a long-standing traditional practice that many cultures all over the world have used to cure ailments of all sorts. You've all heard that maybe your grandma's soup will cure the common cold for you. Maybe it'll prevent cancer and for other people. I've even looked up the internet that some people say a yeast infection can be cured by yogurt. So in the studio today, we are going to discuss all of these, discuss this topic of food related to diseases, disorders, treating symptoms. And in the studio today, we have our collective members, Deepi.
Hi.
Mark. And we also have a very special guest from the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, the BC chapter. He works for the Youth Peer Support Program. Bowen. Hello, Bowen. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
So I believe this is the All Access Pass's first day back in the office this summer.
It is. Hello, everyone. All Access Pass is back for the summer, and this is DP. I'm so pleased to hear that it's back, and all thanks to you, Nicole, and our other collective members like Allison and Kevin, who wanted to keep the show going, so it's awesome. And you're going to be hearing Allison and Kevin throughout this month alongside with Nicole Lee. So stay tuned for more All Access Pass this summer.
I'm so happy to be here. It's great to see everyone again. Although it's summer, it's actually raining today. But summer for you means school that's out. Is out right now, right, Bowen?
Yeah, that's right. It's so nice to take a break from teaching. As you know, like, it's been a crazy year, so I'm looking forward to a long, nice break. And it's actually really nice to be back here at UBC, where I once did my undergrad. So a lot of nostalgia coming through me.
So welcome back, Bowen. Great to have you in studio today. So for some of us, especially in Vancouver, BC, summer also means the influx of fruits and vegetables and getting back on that bicycle towards a better health. But before we get into this topic, our podcast coordinator, Alex, will play an untitled song by Digger Dan. Thank you.
to serve somebody.
And we're back. This is Nicole, and you have alongside here Deepi.
Hi.
Mark. And Bowen. And you were just listening to actor Juno winner and Vancouver bluesman Digger Dan performing with the Richard Kwan Blues Band and Jim Burns. And one of the members, Jim, had actually lost both of his legs as a 27-year-old in a car accident. Both of his legs were amputated and it caused him a significant financial and social burden. But he brought himself up to, you know, Juno Award-winning person. Some of you might recognize him as the Scrooge on Bah Humbug, a Christmas play that was set in the downtown east side of Vancouver. So let's bring it back. We are here today to talk about a topic that has never actually been discussed on air at CITR All Access Pass, and that is with food. The use of food in terms of it being a remedy to cure an ailment, diet for things like obesity or maybe like a liver cleanse, and even as far as herbal medicines, like natural health products, to fix illnesses or symptoms, prevent things like cancer. And to some extent, yes, diet is a major lifestyle change that many have to make in order to take care of their cardiovascular health. But when it comes to certain things that are not precedented, that are unconventional in healthcare but are traditional, like ginkgo biloba, that's now used for tinnitus, but among other things, there's an uprise in using food remedies for things. And there's many reasons, but research has shown that the most common people who use them are higher paid people, surprisingly. This was a study in 2008. Well-educated people, study in 2005, who were white and also were women. These were studies taken to study who uses natural health products. So it's interesting to note that people also use them for various reasons. So within studies, they've noticed that people use them to preserve good health. A lot of people want to use non-prescribed things bought at the store to prolong their life, their well-being. Also, they want to treat illnesses, treat sicknesses that you can't get a prescription for, to treat the side effects of another medication, and also because some conventional medicines are expensive or they just don't work, so they've reverted to natural health products. Those are the main reasons why. But it's interesting to note that in the Western world, there's an increasing use of CAMS, which stands for Complementary Alternative Medicine, that includes herbal medicine, natural health products. And so in healthcare, we study the use of CAMS because we are responsible for informing our patients. I'm a nurse. Informing our patients on choosing these decisions so that they're fully informed of how it's going to interact with their certain health condition, with the medication that they're prescribed, with whatever kind of lifestyle or activities they're going to do. So healthcare providers do have to be aware of complementary medicine. But at the same time, even though it's natural, again, it's not safe. So I wanted to bring this discussion about our experiences, and I'm sure you guys have used natural health products and food remedies to cure something, or we've heard of something. We've been brought up to do chicken soup for the cold, that kind of thing. So let's open it up here. Mark, Bowen, and DP, if you'd like to join in. Tell us who you are and what you've used for a remedy and why. Who would you like to go for?
My name's Mark, and I have type 2 diabetes. And according to my doctor, I am morbidly obese. I have hypertension, high blood pressure that's related to my diabetes. I also have had a stent put into my heart because of an incident of unstable angina, again related to my type 2 diabetes and my untreated sleep apnea. So when I first was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I immediately went on the medication metformin that the doctors prescribed. After a short period of time, the medication was becoming less effective at controlling my blood sugar. So I started turning to diet and supplements. A popular one for high blood sugar is Fenugreek, but there are some side effects that can cause discomfort to those around you, much like if you have a lactose intolerance. So that wasn't a very viable one. So I next turned to diet and tried to control my blood sugar with diet. I tried a number of different diets, Fit for Life, which is proper food combining, but it's too high in carbohydrates, so of course the blood sugar was uncontrolled. Next, I tried the Atkins diet, but my body was not able to digest a lot of the different types of protein that is used in that diet, like cream cheese and dairy products and a lot of meat products. So that didn't really resolve my problems. I went through a bunch of different types of herbs and treatments, none of which really controlled my blood sugar or helped me lose weight until I got onto what's known as a slow-carb diet. This is a diet that is high protein but supplemented with legumes. The reasoning behind the legumes is that they contain recently discovered, 2007, resistive starch, which is a starch that is not digested in the stomach and released into the bloodstream, causing the high blood sugar and the associated insulin release. Instead, they are digested through the intestines and produce a steady release of glucose to give you energy and to keep you feeling satisfied between meals. The problem for me with that diet was that it was the same three meals every day, 6 days of the week. And after having great success for the first 6 months, I started straying off of that diet and found that the results, the health benefits, stayed for a while. I didn't start gaining weight. My blood sugar wasn't out of control. And so I thought I was okay until one day, all of a sudden, the effects disappeared and everything came back kind of like in a snowball effect or an avalanche effect. And suddenly the weight gain was coming back at an uncontrolled rate. The blood sugars were out of control and all the blood work, the numbers went up, the cholesterol, the triglycerides, the LDL, all those sort of things, the blood sugar, the A1C. So I have had some experience. I have tried the natural route. I have tried diets. I've even tried fasting. I've done 21-day water fasts, 30-day water fasts, and even a 45-day water fast, which is great for rapid weight loss and for detoxifying and cleansing the system, but it doesn't cure diabetes. And it doesn't do anything about what's lacking in our food. So at this point, I'm going to put a pin in that, and then later I hope to come back and talk about what's wrong with the commercially produced food that we mostly consume.
Bowen, would you like to add to that?
Sure. So my name is Bowen, and to give a little background about myself, I have a profound hearing loss, and I was identified at the early age of 2, and it's been permanent since then. I do also have a kidney issue that is related to the hearing loss, and as well as a low hemoglobin deficiency, and overall a low immune system. So that's basically how I came across a lot of the food products coming from a Chinese family. So my parents are quite well-versed in all these herbal magazines, especially the generations of Chinese medicine passing through. So I've had a lot of exposure to drinking all sorts of herbal medicines to try to maintain my overall health, especially for the fact that I have low hemoglobin. So what that means is that I tend to be quite fatigued when I was when I was young. And so what typically happens is that I had to take folic acid to maintain my iron level. And so that's the medication that I've been taking from very early on. And then eventually we decided that, you know, there are food products or natural health products that could also do a similar job. So I did take a lot of red meat, so that allows me to maintain that blood level, and it's worked quite effectively over the past couple of years that I don't really need to rely on medicine anymore. And so it's really interesting about the earlier comment that Nicole made about how there are some people who rely on food products and natural health products as a way to cure an illness. And fair enough, like there are things that we want to cure ourselves, like from all sorts of illness. But speaking as a person with hearing loss, like when I think about it from a disability perspective, that, you know, living my life with a hearing loss is not necessarily something that I feel the need to cure or to fix through any kind of remedies, whether it be a medical intervention or like food natural health products. So,
Thank you, Bowen. That's really interesting. We'll talk about that as well, about the use of whether you can cure something with a food remedy or a herbal, and what does it mean for people who feel that they want to. So thank you. That was really interesting and that sparked sparse topics to talk about.
Very.
DB, did you want to add?
No, because honestly, I'm not a big eater to begin with. So I was always a small eater. And even when I was sick and stuff, like everybody else, eat soup. Or my mom always made her own type of food. So I think home food is the best, I think. And if you have a really good family member that's a good cook, that's the best advice I could give, really.
So your mom, you said?
Yeah, my mom. My mom's really a good cook, so she tends to use her, like, instead of, like, buying food from, you know, like, for example, soup, Campbell's soup, she would make her own soup. So, yeah. And then and on my culture, like, I'm Punjabi, so Indian culture, we eat a lot of vegetables, and so I grew up with eating just really healthy vegetable style dishes, and that's pretty much been my whole life, and it's working. So yeah, I'm not in any diets or anything like that, which I guess I'm lucky in a way, but thank you for my mom. Yeah.
We'll touch on that. Basically, she made food with love.
Yeah, and exactly.
We can talk about love as being kind of a therapeutic
thing. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So but how about you, Nicole? I mean, what's your lifestyle been like with food and diet and,
My life hasn't been heavily revolved around herb remedies. I was largely unattracted to the smells of herbs and all that stuff. But when I did move out, my grandma made me this bitter soup, and they always have to be disgusting and bitter tasting. She said drink it within the first weekend of moving out or else you'll get cancer. And I was like, okay, like, sure, I'll drink it. And then I just had this paranoia, like, for a week after, and then a month after, I'm like, oh my god, what if one of these crazy superstition things are like, right? Like, what if it's even not related to drinking it, and I just incidentally had it, and it totally got to my head, but I didn't grow up revolved around using herbs. But that did get to my head. I wanted to bring it back to Bowen and Mark talking about how they use certain foods for their conditions. Who brought these into your lifestyle? Who was the one who brought it up? Some of you have done research on your own. Did you bring it to your doctor's office? Did you keep them updated along the way? Was it not the doctor? Was it the pharmacist? Was it a dietitian? Was it someone not even in your what is it called? Those herb medicine places, the Chinese herb, you know, those Chinatown places that you just go into and just talk about, like, oh, maybe acupuncture or some tincture would help. So how did you start your journey on using a particular lifestyle or diet remedy?
Hi, it's Mark here again. So one of the books that my mom had sitting on her bookshelf at home was called Nutritional Healing. And I purchased that book, and in my search for that book, I found another book called Natural Prescriptions. So the introduction of nutritional healing, and also, interestingly enough, in the book Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, it states that about 95% of disease is diet-related. So my initial understanding was it's not my body or my genetics that's making me sick. They may be giving me a predisposition to certain diseases, like my mother's type 2 diabetic, so I'm type 2 diabetic. My mother's obese, so I'm obese. But I have the propensity, if you will. So when I understood that food was making me sick, I started looking back at my diet and how I had been eating, and started to identify that there was a lot of foods that I was consuming that my body didn't digest well, that didn't tolerate well, or had adverse effects like cramping while going to the washroom and those sort of nasty things. And so once I started to gain an understanding that it was what I had eaten that was making me sick, the first thing was to detoxify. And there's different ways of detoxifying, but I like to get it over with. So that's what led me to do the fasting, was to detoxify. And the benefits were astounding. It was like I was a little baby again. It's almost like it reversed aging in my digestive system. I went on that 45-day fast back in November of 2008, and that's around the time the H1N1 virus was around. And this was just a year after being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And every time I went to a certain location, it happened to be a church, a large church in Burnaby, every time I went there, I would get sick again. And when you're a type 2 diabetic, you have a weakened immune system. So when you get sick, you get twice as sick for twice as long. So I was bedridden from several times in a row, from 6 to 8 weeks. So I decided to go onto this long fast, this prolonged fast, 45 days, nothing but water and lots of bed rest and sleepless nights. The insomnia is insane. But after that, I have only, so that was in November of 2008. I've only been sick. That was when I got sick. The fast ended in May of 2009. I've only been sick with a cold twice since that time. Mild colds lasted just a few days and were gone. It was like a bolstering to my immune system. So one of the things I've come to understand through my reading and through my own learning is that 80 to 90% of our immune system is based on our gut health. And one of the best foods that we can eat for our gut health is fermented foods. So I eat kimchi, I eat sauerkraut, I drink kefir, any type of fermented food, I'm all over it. And I even take supplements like nattokinase, which is fermented, it's a Japanese product, and they ferment soy and they concentrate it. And it actually has reported abilities. Some of the studies that they've done have shown that it actually has the ability to eat arterial plaque. Now, I have not seen the benefits from that myself, but I've just been taking it for a short period of time. With my heart condition, I have looked into research and identified everything that I can identify that is supposed to help with heart disease. And to be honest, after trying all these various things for a good period of time, I have not really seen the benefits like I did when I focused on my diet and I went on that slow carb diet where I ate the same three meals a day, 6 days a week. I saw the weight loss. I saw the cholesterol come down, the A1C come down, the triglycerides come down to all healthy non-diabetic numbers. The supplements, I believe, are not working for me because of my metabolic disorder. Because my system is clogged up, they're not getting into me. And these natural supplements for my heart, some of them are nutrients. Some of them are herbs. Some of them are created products like the nattokinase. is a created product from fermenting soybean. I've taken NAC, nethyl acetal. I'm not going to be able to say it properly, but it's NAC. It's supposed to be really good for your heart. I've also taken something called Camu Camu, which is from a South American plant. It's a fruit from South America that has 50 times the vitamin C as oranges or any other fruit. And my research has shown that one of the things that causes heart disease is that it's a lot like scurvy, which is vitamin C deficiency. So that's one of the things that diabetics have a problem with. The other couple things that most diabetics test low on is one, chromium. And so if I'm deficient in chromium, it means I'm not getting it in my diet. And the other one is magnesium, and magnesium is notoriously difficult to get in your diet. You'd have to eat like 5 pounds of dark chocolate to get your daily dose of magnesium. So good news there for those who love dark chocolate. So I supplement magnesium with really good, high-quality sources of magnesium, and I found that that has brought back eliminated the arrhythmia and brought back proper rhythm to my heartbeat. The only other thing that I wanted to touch on just now in regards to, like, with the heart is recent Nobel, and some of this research has been around. Since 1998, there's been Nobel Prize-winning research on nitric oxide, and it's shown that as we age, our body's natural nitric oxide levels go down, and there's a relation between that and the accumulation of arterial plaque, and that's more on the aging, not so much the diet sort of things. So what I found was that what they did was they combined L-carnitine and L-arginine, a couple of proteins combined together in like a drink with water, and this boosts nitric oxide levels. And when I started taking that, my doctor was amazed at the drop in blood pressure going from about 190 to about 170s. She said that she'd never in her life seen anyone reverse high blood pressure or drop high blood pressure. And that was just simply through nutrient supplementation. I want to come back later. I want to pass it on. I want to come back later when I may have misquoted L-citrulline and L-arginine. Those were the two that are combined together. It's easy to find. If you do a search on the nitric oxide and supplementing with L-arginine, there's lots of articles on the internet about it. It's a well-proven and accepted science scientific paper. And I want to come back later about like the food that's missing in our diet, the nutrients that are missing in our diet because of commercially produced food that is contributing to these deficiencies, which then in turn lead to disease. Bowen, can I pass this to you?
Thank you, Mark. That's really great information. And contrary to you, like I have to say I'm completely clueless about diet because I trust my parents completely, you know. Whatever they put in front of me, I just take them in. Like I don't think parents have the intention of making us sick at all, right? So my mom is quite knowledgeable about all these like food products and herbal remedies because she had a high school friend that is a doctor like in Chinese medicine. So she consulted her on the various recipes on like how to strengthen my immune system. So the approach that my parents and I take is not about curing something, but it's more about maintaining our bodies to making sure that we stay healthy as best as possible because I have to admit that we're not exactly an active family. I've never really been an active person in terms of sports and that partly due to my hearing loss. And that's a whole different story where my hearing loss was fluctuating at the time. And so I didn't get a chance to participate in a lot of contact sports like soccer. So I never really developed that interest in being active. So then that's how we kind of say, well, if we're not being active, or me particularly, then we have to look at like how we're consuming our food as a way to maintain a healthy lifestyle in that, at least in that one aspect, to compensate for the lack of exercise that I don't have. So in China, like in the Chinese culture, like we believe in a lot of animal parts, where when you eat certain animal parts, it reinforces certain parts of your body. So for example, like pork liver is a really popular one, where the more that you consume the pork liver, it actually strengthens your kidney functions. And so that's really based on word of mouth through all the conversations within the community, especially because we live in such a tiny community in China. So people trust each other in, you know, saying that, oh, this really work well for them, and so they try it themselves. And same thing with like the vegetables. Like we really rely a lot on the benefits of the vegetables, like carrots. They really help to improve the eyesight, to maintain the acute vision. So that's kind of my exposure to the natural the food products. I never really have been a consumer of like vitamins or anything like that. I really focus a lot more on like veggies and fruit to maintain health. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you guys come, both of you have each come from such a long history and of family practices, your personal health practices, of, you know, researching and following your family diet and learning from others. I wanted to, what struck me as a question for both of you is, how do you know that whatever you're using is helping? I mean, you're trying combining a combination of things. Is it a combination of things? Is it one and not the others? Do you go tell your doctor, like, do a blood test and, like, compare after? At what point do you know when you do the blood test? How do you know it's not an interaction between a drug? So I wanted to know, and, you know, even, like, it's almost like a herd immunity thing with in China, like, community. It helps the community, but how do you know? Because I also wanted to share one short story, is milk thistle. I actually had a nursing instructor say, this will help, you know, night of drinking, you guys, next day or as soon as you get home, take some milk thistle as much as you can. It'll help your liver if it's inflamed by taking a hit from all the alcohol. It'll help. So I had a very close friend of mine who I was like, take liver milk thistle. It's good for you. So he was taking it for a while. And then we go to a gastroenterologist, the nurse is there as well. They're like, so what medications, what's your lifestyle like? You know, they really like to see what your whole life is like so they can make sure that they're not missing anything. We mentioned milk thistle. And that was actually a good thing we decided to mention at the very last minute, because it will actually lower your lab value for liver function. It will actually kind of cover up what enzyme would have been picked up by a blood test. So we wouldn't advise not to take milk thistle, even though some of the most popular researchers have said it. We're talking to someone who's actively working in healthcare saying, for your case, and because, like, you know, it actually might cover up true results, please don't. So I just kind of wanted to ask, like, how do you guys know? It might have worked for you. Maybe it is a placebo effect. Or maybe it was made with love, your vegetables and meals.
Maybe.
What would you say about that? How did you go about that? How did you know? And are you okay with it being a placebo effect?
So it's Mark here again. And to answer that, I would have to give a little bit more background. So I woke up one day and I was, or one night in the middle of the night, and I was sitting on my mom's lap in the car, and my mom was driving me to the doctor. And I found out the reason they were driving me was because I wasn't breathing. And the doctor simply said, sleep on your side. It wasn't until like 25 years later that I went to UBC to the sleep lab and was officially diagnosed with sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea, which is when you stop breathing when you're sleeping. So there's three main effects from having sleep apnea that's untreated. Number one is heart disease. Number two is obesity, which then under the obesity can lead to the diabetes. It's that you get the metabolic disorder, which ends up turning into diabetes, type 2 diabetes. Now, in Dr. Bernstein's book on reversing diabetes, he talks about a hormone that's produced when we're sleeping. When we get into the deepest level of sleep, the fourth level of sleep, that is really our deep restful sleep, our body produces a hormone. I don't know the name of this hormone, but I know what its effect is, or its kind of like nickname is our satiety. And it's the hormone that your body releases when you've had enough to eat. And even with, so I've never had this hormone all my life. And so that's led to overeating, which in turn has led to the obesity and the related diseases. And so after I got treated for the sleep apnea, I wasn't gaining the benefits that you're looking for. I'm looking for some weight loss, and I'm looking for some satisfaction while I'm eating. So a return to the sleep lab revealed that I also had another condition known as restless leg syndrome. So these two conditions, either of them, result in not getting restful sleep. So waking up, feeling like you run a marathon and being tired and being run down and your body can't do the proper healing functions that it would normally do when you're sleeping, and also results in overeating, uncontrolled diet. So the first thing I'm looking for is, in treating my sleep apnea, I'm looking for weight loss and I'm not seeing it. So there's certain markers. First of all, as a type 2 diabetic, I get regular blood work done every 3 months that monitors my A1C, which is a measure of the hemoglobin that gives you like a 3-month average of your blood sugar level. And then your triglycerides, which is basically the fat in your bloodstream. And then your LDL and your HDL cholesterol, which I'm sure most people are familiar with. So diabetics have high LDL cholesterol, low LDL cholesterol, and high triglycerides and high A1Cs. So there's an actual marker there for how well I'm maintaining my blood sugar. Then you have your blood pressure, which, since I have high blood pressure and heart disease, I have to continually monitor my blood pressure regularly. Every time I go into the drugstore, I'm actually just purchased today a bracelet that I'll be able to wear that'll monitor my blood pressure all day, every day. So that's another marker. Finally, I just want to touch briefly on homocysteine. The most recent science has shown that the number one indicator to be at risk for heart disease, either heart attack or high blood pressure or any heart-related issue, angina or arrhythmia, whatever it may be, is your homocysteine, raised homocysteine levels. And one of the reasons that I turned to natural type of remedies as opposed to medications was, number one, the doctors, the drugs are, in my humble opinion, they're poisons to our bodies. They're not food. They're not natural products. They're chemicals that were created in a laboratory. The metformin that is given for type 2 diabetes to reduce blood sugar has been shown to raise homocysteine. So the drug that my doctor, in good faith, is attempting to treat my diabetes with is actually putting me at a greater risk of heart attack. And this is what the biggest problem is with medications and any type of healing, is that we're always gaining new information. We're always learning new things. So it's always a process. So I look at my weight, I look at my blood pressure, and I look at my homocysteine levels, and I look at my blood work for my diabetes. And these are the markers that I have that can tell if it's working or not. And having tried different things, I know things that actually do work, and things, maybe as much as I want them to work, are not working. Like all those supplements I was taking, to the olive tree extract, the natokinase, the camu, all these different ginsengs, the Brazilian, the Indian, the Siberian, none of these had an effect to lower my blood pressure. And so there wasn't even a placebo effect with those. So I'm going to pass it to Bowen.
We actually are going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to a song and just kind of have like food for thought, but also music for thought, and just kind of think about our own health right now. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to hear next is, his name is Jasper Sloan Yip, and the song is called Transit.
I wander these streets with my head in my hands. There I stare at my feet so I know where I stand. Every step followed up by the next. I move with my feet while I breathe with my chest. Well, I don't feel alright, but I think I'll be fine. If I just keep on moving, I'll kill all the time between the place I just left and where I will see you next. I hope that's enough, but I ain't holding my breath. There always will be space in between where I find myself and where I want to be. Oh, I miss you, I miss you. I wish that I could kiss you. This distance between us has become an issue. Oh, I feel such a mess ever since so I left, and I'm doing my best, but I can't, I won't. Let's just hang up and head back to the coast where I know we could cope. Let's wash our hands and let's make amends and let's not think of anything else. So please imagine and understand, I've already lost all of my friends, and I just can't lose you as well. Oh, those 290 odd days, there's no way either of us could articulate what happened between us, what changed in our hearts. Well, now that we're home, we are farthest apart. Well, I'm at my best when I walk all alone. I don't need money or drugs or my cellular phone. And these feelings of mine that I could not describe, they are leading me on to leave everything I know behind. No. But I can't, please don't leave me alone. I am so sick of the road, I've got no. Just can't lose you as well. My friends don't know, 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 my friends don't know. Oh, how much I miss them tonight. My friends don't know, 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 my friends don't know. Oh, how much time to serve the night. Oh, my friends don't know, 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 my friends don't know. Oh, how much time to serve the night. I've got nothing but time and a big hole to fill, and if time doesn't kill me, that emptiness will.
Penguin sliding on an iceberg, and then the fiery ice crack, and the penguin sees Donald Trump and feels numb and dies.
Donald Trump hops into a balloon and floats away. A child sees him and says, "Look, something ugly is in a balloon." The end.
Are you a kid with a story to tell?
Want to learn how to make great radio?
Then sign up for CITR's
Kids Radio Camp!
On-air training,
games,
field trips,
and more! Happening this summer from July 15th to 19th.
Kids aged 11 to 14 are welcome.
To register, go to CITR.ca.
Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is proud to present the 2019 Showcase.
Featuring eight camper bands who wrote and learned their songs all in 1 week with special bands Primp and Biawana.
Come down to the Wise Hall Saturday, July 13th. Doors at 12:30 p.m., show at 1 p.m.
And welcome back to All Access Pass. This is DP, and the song that you just heard was Transit by Jasper Salone Yip. For those who don't know, Jasper is actually CITR's music director, so shout out to him. Awesome music, and now back to you, Nicole.
Thank you, DP. I am flabbergasted by the wealth of knowledge that we all have here today. And unfortunately, I can't ask you everything that I have written down, so we might have to make this a part two. But I wanted to ask our guest here just one last question about food remedies. How do you feel about being told that your food remedy is not going to cure your condition, that maybe even not just a food remedy, that there is no cure? Like, this is what you have to deal with. Like, how do you feel about basically your autonomy taken away? You can't, in your own control, buy something from a store, do some kind of health practice to drop that weight or to make your liver look good on a scan. Because how does that feel? Because I think that's what a lot of people kind of decide to break the rules and not listen to the doctor.
Mark here again. That's very much describing me, because I always have been a bit of a rebel that way. I haven't trusted my doctors. I haven't followed their prescriptions. I've gone and done my own thing. They tell me that diabetes cannot be reversed, that I have to be on medication for the rest of my life, and that I'm always going to have low leptins, which is that hormone that I was trying to remember the name of earlier. Thank you, Nicole Baber, for that, not Nicole Lee. I will take the responsibility myself for my health. I will work with my doctor and partner with my doctor and inform them what I'm doing so they can give me warnings like, don't take ginkgo because you're on blood thinners like Plavix. And so I'll follow that type of medical warnings. Aside from that, them telling me that they can't be reversed, I was on a diet that caused me to lose the weight and made all my numbers non-diabetic numbers. That's not curing it. I still have type diabetes, but for all intents and purposes, it eliminates the health deterioration that diabetes causes, which is a horrible disease. Blindness, liver failure, feet amputation, and heart disease. It's just a horrid disease. So to be told there's no cure for this, it's like, no way. Not accepting that, I'm going to do everything that I can to try to disprove that.
This is Boeing here. And just to put on a different hat, in my experience living with hearing loss, and also in my role as the director of the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, the youth peer support program, I've had a lot of conversations with families and teenagers who have that hope that the hearing loss will one day be cured or be gone. And that is something that unfortunately, just won't happen in most cases. And there have been a lot of studies being done to look at, you know, how do we cure hearing loss. And Well, it's very fast that because I grew up with it at a very early age, I've accepted it as part of myself. So I don't really feel a sense of loss in terms of not being able to change it. But then for other people who have acquired hearing loss later in life, it's a more difficult condition for them to accept because they've experienced what it's like to have full hearing and then they have that kind of loss. And so it will be more difficult for them to accept that it is a condition where they're going to have to learn to adapt. Thankfully, you know, whether or not there is medication, medical intervention or food remedies, it all comes down to finding a supportive community who can really help you through the challenges that you're facing. And, you know, it's all about making connections with other people who share the same experiences and we learn from each other and we develop strategies that we can try to do to make the best out of the non-changeable situation that we're being faced with. So that's my two cents on the situation. If there's nothing that we can do to change, yeah. It's about finding the community that you feel a sense of belonging with.
Thank you, Bowen. Thank you, Mark. That was really great closing words on this topic. We will have to continue and talk so much about, you know, the food labels, the production of pharmaceuticals. We'll have to talk about how tests are done. We have to talk more about this topic and how it relates to people with disabilities or things that make them even feel more disabling, really. So I'm going to switch gears because we have a call from some friends in Georgia, actually. So we're going to have a listen to the clip.
Say love can do anything, but it will never fix me. I still need a doctor and a lot of therapy. No, you are not my lithium, you are not my Prozac. But when you come over, you are my July summer sunshine on my back. And that calm voice soothes me like an ice pack. Don't laugh, no, I really mean that. You change me and you motivate me in spite of all the pills and the side effects, in spite of the panic attack. You don't need. Never gonna cure me, you're not my new religion. But in you I found something good to believe in. Oh, you are not my white knight, you are not my lifeboat. But you are my best friend, just when I thought I was alone. You were beside me, I felt weak at my knees. Fingers woven mine till I was asleep, trust me. I am still a train wreck without a steady paycheck. And I know you hate to watch me struggle. And you hate when I'm in trouble, but
hello again. That was a short song clip that you were listening to. We're going to show you, actually, we just got a call from friends in Georgia. Please have a listen. Sorry, I forgot about
it. Hello, we are leaders of the Wing of the Our Foundation from Georgia. We are speaking from across the continent to spread the word about the Our Foundation's 7 years of success and fight for an inclusive environment. This foundation is created by mothers of deep and hard of hearing children, and every member of it has huge experience in this field. Our mission is to support hard of hearing deaf people and their families to gain medical and other kind of information about hearing loss. We help them to be involved in society and become local citizens. We have three orientations: parent club, the EarSwing support group of cochlear implant users. We are very active. We have already become member of European Federation of Hard of Hearing, European Association or cochlear implant users, global coalition of parents of children who are deaf and hard of hearing, international federation of hearing young people. To be hard of hearing and deaf in Georgia means lack of education to inclusive educational system. It is hard to get a job. TV is not equipped with subtitles. We have low pensions. Noise pollution is a great problem, especially in Tbilisi. Many things have changed for 7 years due to our contribution. We try really hard to make change in our community and have many goals for the future. We have a dream to create an environment in Georgia which will be adaptive, inclusive, supportive for hard of hearing and deaf people, and we actively look for the supporters around the world. Also, we are going to become more active not only in our country, but make international events and activities such as summer camp for hard of hearing and deaf young people. We truly believe that every hard of hearing and deaf children must have opportunity to develop their hearing and speaking, be involved in society as they will hearing help. Thank you for your attention.
And on behalf of the CITO and the International Federation of Hard of Hearing Young People,
and on behalf of Canada's Hard of Hearing Association, we would like to wish the people of Georgia and Ori's Foundation a wonderful 7-year anniversary. We want to congratulate you on the success of your organization and wish you all the best. You have the support of all of us. So happy birthday, Ori's.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Would you like to add a comment?
And we look forward to seeing you in the summer camp in the future years.
Mm-hmm. So that was Bowen, our special guest today from the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association. He works for the Peer Support Program. And he is also, I haven't announced this, he is also the new president of the International Federation for Hard of Hearing Young People around the world. So he will be, you know, working with Georgia along with a lot of European countries, I believe a country in Africa, and some of the Asian countries. So Bowen, thank you so much for being here today. It's just an honor to have you. Mark, it was such an honor to hear so much about your journey as well. DP, it's always lovely to sit next to you.
Good to see you again. Thanks for being here.
And on that note, I would like to complete the first episode of the summer for the episode, what is it, season 4 now of All Access Pass on CITR. And you would like to hear more about All Access Pass?
Yeah, so if you want to know more about All Access Pass, you can email as accessibilitycollective@citr.ca or follow on Twitter or Instagram or both on access_CITR.
Thank you for listening and hanging out with us today. Again, thank you for our guest.
Okay, please like All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or even maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can check out our podcast shows on citr.ca by going on the search box and searching All Access Pass.
And a special thanks to Allison, who picked our music today, and she's actually listening. So hi, Allison.
Hey, Allison, we miss you. Thank you to Alex for manning our Twitch board today.
Yeah.
And if you want to stay tuned for the next part of our discussion, please do so on our website and everything. Stick around for programming coming up. Tune in for the next episode, 3 p.m. next time. See you later. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.